mercy and peace be unto all of you, from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The scriptural basis for our homily this morning is the gospel selection for this week, which you'll see from the podium in Matthew 7, beginning at verse 15, where Jesus warns against some of the dangers that Christians will be subjected to in this evil world. Christians, as serious students of the Bible, know full well that throughout the discourses of our Savior, the words of the prophets and of the apostles, there are many warnings against some of the dangers which we will face in this life. There are temptations of Satan, and there are the delusive temptations of our own sinful flesh. But one of the most dangerous and deceptive dangers of all is this danger of false prophets. And that is the danger of which our Savior warns in today's scripture lesson. It tells us not only why the false prophets are so dangerous, but it also suggests how they can be detected, how we can identify them. We may never have given very much thought about false prophets, because in a place like this, in a Christian community, and in a church body which has an unusually high level of internal discipline yet, we are relatively immune from this. But when we start to think about how deceptive false prophets can be, we must be conscious of this danger as pastors and teachers in the church, and as future shepherds appointed to later on teach the flock of Christ. We cannot for a minute relax our vigil against this danger. If you were ill and would go to a pharmacist and you knew there was a bogey pharmacist in there, or a person who was no pharmacist at all, didn't even have a license from the state to prepare and to mix and dispense medicine, would you venture to give him just by chance any bottle from the shelf and say, take it and you might get well or you might die? I think we would be very careful to go to a licensed pharmacist who could give us the precise medication that was prescribed by the doctor. Or take the medical profession. We have very elaborate legal requirements for certifying doctors so that the public would be defended and protected against fraud. And this also holds about the people who serve God. God really appoints the prophets. Take the many cases in the Old Testament where a man would arise and tell the people, first of all, that it was God who had called him to come and serve as God's spokesman, to warn the people of a dire judgment to come, or also to prophesy about the certainty of the promised Messiah. And we know from some of the prophecies, messages have been recorded in the Old Testament scriptures, like Jeremiah, for example, how serious and how deceptive was the message of the false prophet who came and contradicted the prophet of God, who heard the dire warnings about God's impending judgment, saying, oh, no, it's not going to be that bad. Why, in a little while, things are going to improve, and everybody is going to realize the real heaven on earth. You know, from the reading of Jeremiah, that's just what they were saying. And we know as the Savior reminds us, that they are very dangerous because they will mislead the very people of God. And it's not only that they blindly deter them from the path they should walk, but they will turn them around exactly in the opposite direction. Like a deluded, strange football player who comes up from a vicious tackle and picks up the ball and runs for a touchdown at the opposition goal. That's where these people will end up. And that's why false prophets are especially dangerous. And then beyond that, it's because they come to us in sheep clothing, as the Savior himself said. They will inwardly will be destructive wolves, but outwardly they will appear as if they are part of the flock that the shepherd is leading. Now, if you were a zoologist, you would not permit anyone to take you into a den of vicious animals such as jungle tigers or lions. Would destroy you the minute you were in that den or that cage? And that is also the concern that we have to bear when we think about the danger that we, as all Christians in any church, will face someday, the danger of false prophets. Think about the good some information how we can detect the false prophet when he says, "By their fruit you shall know them." He uses the analogy of a fruit tree. A good tree will not bear evil fruit, nor can a scrub tree bear very good fruit. So we look at the fruit that they bear in their work, and then we will be able to tell. Now, even on this point, there are many deceptions that are afoot in our own society and among Christian churches today, because people often interpret this passage as saying if prophets can get a following, then they must be true prophets of God. And nothing could be further from the truth, because false prophets always get the gullible and the simple-minded who want the easy answers and the soft touch. And that is not the test by any means. But Jesus emphasizes that those followers of prophets who do the will of their Father which is in heaven will be the good fruit which will bear testimony that that prophet was a man of God. To do the will of God, to live his word, that's a very crucial point in our own time and in our own generation, because there are so many people who question this very word of God, whether it has any validity, whether it is true at all, whether it is inspired, or whether it can even be inspired. And look at that question, and then use Jesus' own measuring stick to decide who are the true prophets and who are the false ones. And false prophets will always cause dissension and schism in the church. In fact, this is what the word heresy means in its original and basic meaning. They bring the church apart by bringing in teachings that are not scriptural teachings. There are so many illustrations of this that we could cite from the history of the church that the brevity of time defies even an inciting one example. But I do want to say that in our own heritage, we always thought that we had an easy answer, because we only needed to look at the denominational labels of the various churches and the non-Christian religion, and then you could tell by the label where are the false prophets and where are the true prophets. But while we slept, Satan came along and stripped all the signs on the doors. Now when you look at the sign Legion, you can no longer be certain that that room in God contains only and simply true prophet, because there has been a veritable disaster of Christ, and the delusions of the modern theology, liberation theology, revolutionary theology, political theology, and what have you, has infested every church, even the Lutheran church, and it is no longer that simple. Today, we all face this particular challenge that we need to be on our guard against false prophets, and especially do we need to be on our guard that Satan would not derail us and make of us false prophets. God forbid that we would ever depart from his true, inspired, and inerrant word. God forbid that any one of us would go out and deceive the very people of God whom he has called or will be calling to minister in the fear and admonition and the knowledge of God. Let us beware that we will be true followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, faithful servants of our Savior, that we may proclaim in all its fullness and in its purity that one life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ and his vicarious suffering and death on the cross, and that the certainty of his resurrection. May he grant us also that we may nurture and guide those people whom he has entrusted or will entrust to our care, to nurture them to be aware of this danger. Beware of false prophets, so that we all, each one individually and collectively, may continue to follow that great shepherd of our souls and may be received into the everlasting mansion in heaven by his grace and by his merit. May God grant us this, for Jesus' sake. Amen.